in partnership with AndTheValleyShook.com. It's the Go Show, your original LSU podcast, coming at you on a Thursday night, October 17th, 2013. Looking back at the LSU-Florida matchup and previewing LSU and Ole Miss this Saturday night, 6 p.m., ESPN 2 on your television sets, Eagle 98.1 and all other LSU affiliate radio stations across the country on your radio dial. Ways to get in touch with the show, as always, visit the site for us of all, www.andthevalleyshook.com. You can hit that show up on Twitter. You can tweet at us at Valley Shook. Ways to get in touch with the show or download the show, you can download it free via iTunes to your smartphone device, and also free from the website itself, a Man of Valley Shook, when the shows are posted weekly. But if you if you subscribe to the show, the iTunes, you get all the old archive shows and listen back to some of the past prognostications and things of that sort. I am Kerry Munch, your host. With me tonight, Mr. Dan Davis from Man of Valley Shook. Hey, Dan.
Hey, how's it going, Kerry?
We were such a great duo last week. Podcast brought us back. You can't go wrong. You cannot go wrong. So podcast back there, pushing the buttons, editor, producer, creator of the Go Show. So we call him the Cajun Billy D. Williams. He likes that nickname, so we'll stick to that. So, big win for LSU on Saturday. Kind of, you know, like the song says, a little bit of bad reference there. It was different. It was old school, but it was LSU being a hammer and not the nail. Really just taking the game to Florida with a little bit of a subdued game plan. I don't know if it was by design, if it was Florida taking away, you know, our passing ability, which I don't think it really was, because design. Maybe it was to protect Beckham and Landry, who Landry was kind of nicked up in the Mississippi State game. So, you know, maybe with Florida knowing that, they'd focus more attention on Beckham and didn't really want to drop back and throw it 30 times and risk injuring both of them or re-injuring Landry. So, you know, either way it worked. You know, we rushed for, I think, 175 yards. Jeremy Hill went over 100. 17-6. I don't know if I mentioned that. Everybody should know that, though. You know, his LSU defense is on a roll all of a sudden. We've only given up 3 field goals in the last 6 quarters. So definitely a trend that we want to see continue. You know, definitely still some open guys out there. You know, Tyler Murphy, you know, found some receivers open on his second and third progressions, missing a couple of passes. But again, we saw things on Saturday that we haven't seen yet this season that we started seeing in the second half against Mississippi State. And that was a pass rush. And that's a good sign. That's an excellent sign. We saw guys getting to the quarterback, we saw guys making plays in the secondary, dropping an interception here and there. I can go on and on about Danielle Hunter. I think we have already on Twitter. And I know Billy's, you know, raved about him on a couple of the, you know, breakdowns of the game he's written so far. So, you know, just a solid victory for LSU. It was, you know, it wasn't pretty. It was, you know, it wasn't flashy. It wasn't, you know, 38-3 or nothing like that, but it was an SEC win over a top 20 team, and that's all that counts going forward, Dan. So what was your initial thoughts on the game? What's your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, I love that you said old school, because it really was like watching our team from the past several years instead of the team we've seen this year, and just completely successful through the air. We were pounding the ball on the ground. We actually played pretty good defense, and we tackled pretty well, and got a pass rush, and really felt more like gutting out a victory, like what we're used to. I think one thing that it just occurred to me when we were talking about it is, like, I wonder if it's like a pride moment for this team, is to just say, like, we could go in and physically match someone that's just as talented as we are, and we can still beat them. Because it felt like there was a lack of pride after this game last year. Like, this game kind of like sank our ship in a way, because even though it was close, that it was kind of like running into a brick wall when we played them last season. And then we turn around and this season, it's like, we're going to just run over you. We're going to exert our will on both sides of the ball and prove that we're a better team. And it was almost like the team just latched onto that idea. Like, oh, we're going to put up 55 points and beat you 55-33. No, we're going to just run you smooth out of the stadium. Even though the scoreboard won't be sexy. It was kind of a game where Florida tried to make it interesting, but you never really felt like they had a chance. At least that's how I felt. I don't know if you felt that way.
There were moments, not very many. I mean, they dominated, like time of possession.
Mm-hmm.
But that was really about it. It was weird because they dominated time of possession, but the stat lines, they didn't dominate at all. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I know we outgained them yardage-wise. I don't know what the total amount was, but it was weird to see them with, you know, I think they finished with, I think the time of possession was like 35-25 towards the end.
Yeah.
But yardage-wise, we were so much better. And, you know, I don't know what they ran for. We averaged, I mean, and I think, I can't remember who broke this down. I think it was Billy, which is like a yard and a half more than what they've given up at this point this season in previous games. So,
yeah,
you know, so it was, you know, just kind of a weird game. At the same time, you're right. It was, you know, LSU, you know, they got the two early touchdowns and up 14-3 at halftime. I was really thinking that we'd come out and maybe, I guess I was kind of hoping we'd just come out and just kind of blow them out of the water after that.
Yeah, but, same here.
It was just kind of stalemate. LSU just kind of did what they needed to do. You know, Florida drove down, got a field goal, made a one possession game, and LSU came right back. You know, got a couple big plays, got that good run from Jeremy Hill. We almost broke it. And we ended up getting the field goal from Mr. Clutch, Doug Hussey. And, you know, held off Florida after that. So it was, you know, pretty, I guess, anticlimactic in the second half. Basically, I mean, when you go back and you watch the DVR version of this game, like once you finish the first half, it's like, okay, that's, you know.
Yeah, that's it.
There's much to watch in the second half. It's kind of like, you know. But Billy, who, you know, writes up the viewer's guide, he sits through everything, man. He puts out a list of notes in that. It's, you know, makes my seventh grade history teacher blush. And so, but, you know, all in all, did what you need to do. They, you know, stayed healthy. You know, Jordan Allen got hurt, but they say by all accounts so far, he's fine. Josh Jones sat out again last weekend. Status for this weekend, I think, is still unclear. I think everybody else is back to full strength. So it's just time to go to Oxford and let's see what happens there. We'll somebody from Red Cup Rebellion, Bob Lynch, a little bit later on the show and get his take on the game. But, you know, going forward, this is a matchup, Dan, that, you know, it's Ole Miss. You know, they're 3-3, three straight losses, but you know that we're going to get their absolute best effort. And that's what pisses me off about that freaking team.
Oh, I know.
So.
You told that story last week about your dad saying, you know, it doesn't matter how bad they are. They're going to show up and play like NFL Pro Bowlers. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, trust me. You know, and I had a Facebook friend write. He wrote something to the effect of, "If you need a reason," he wrote this Monday on a status update. If you need any more reason to really hate Ole Miss, they've underperformed against teams they should have beat. You know, a la Auburn. You know, their biggest game of the year at Alabama, they got shut out. He said, "But bet your word, they're gonna come out against LSU and give us fits for 60 minutes, and it doesn't matter how hurt they are, they're just gonna do it." I mean, Bo Wallace is gonna find ways to make plays. Now, offensively, we're going to move the ball up and down the field. I mean, you don't lose that many players on defense and stop an offense as capable as LSU. And they didn't stop us last year, and we were head and shoulders offensively better than what we were a year ago. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, what I don't want to see is a back and forth Georgia type game. LSU needs to come out, start fast, much like they did against Auburn, You know, and Ole Miss, I think we'll move the ball. I mean, Bo Wallace is a good quarterback. They have some good wide receivers. You know, you know, I hate to see anybody get hurt, but, you know, their top running back's kind of nicked up a little bit too. You know, Brunetti's kind of nicked up. You know, so, they, I mean, it's just a matter of, you know, LSU just continuing to improve defensively. And, you know, Bo Wallace can make plays with his feet. I mean, I think he leads the team in rushing attempts. So that's something that's very worrisome. And he's a guy that, you know, we've seen quarterbacks who can move the ball with their feet as well as throw the ball beat LSU single-handedly. Make it hard for LSU to win, you know, just by the quarterback's play. I mean, so it's how LSU adjusts to it, you know, what they do to contain Bo Wallace. I think that's basically the key.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think this is probably the best offensive team we've played in the last 3 weeks. I mean, Mississippi State is really still trying to find themselves on offense, and Florida too, with changing quarterbacks and all of that. I mean, this team has a more entrenched system, even with all the losses, like losing Jeff Scott, their best running back and stuff, but they're still a pretty decent offense. And as you said, Bo Wallace, he made a lot of plays against us last year, and he continues to make plays against other opponents this year. So I think it'll be interesting to see how our defense, if it continues to progress, or if maybe we learn, like, oh, the defense played well because we were playing Mississippi State and Florida. But I lean optimistically. I think they will continue to play well.
Yeah, like I stated after the Georgia game, when we did the show to, you know, leading up to Mississippi State, John Chavis is too good and too proven of a defensive coordinator not to right this ship. I mean, we're starting to see bits and pieces of it coming. Yeah. Some of the guys that have been playing, getting playing time, are performing. Just like I say, Jeremy Hill is always a play away from breaking a long touchdown run. Tre'Davious White's going to get a pick six before this. Plays on a ball. He's gonna catch one of them damn balls sooner or later. He's already almost taken two. He's already almost taken two to the house this season. So, you know, he's getting better. Then we found a viable safety in Corey Thompson, back there. He played very well Saturday. We spoke about Danielle Hunter. I mean, he gets his paws up. I mean, J.J. Watt back there swatting down screen passes and shit. So, I'm very encouraged by him. And then we saw more of a rotation on the defensive line. We saw some of the other guys get in and, you know, make a couple plays. You know, Anthony Johnson finally, you know, got decent pass rush, gets a sack. So, you know, we saw blitz. We saw Eugene come off a blitz and get a sack. So, starting to see some things starting to develop and, you know, getting the ball rolling with this defense going forward. So hopefully the trend continues. I'd like to see us not take a step back. Now, granted, we give up. I don't want to give up 24 points, but we give up 24 points. I feel pretty good about where we are as far as winning the football game Saturday.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's about that time. You know, we're midway through the season. Those freshmen that we've been rotating in and younger guys like Hunter, who was a redshirt last year, you know, they're starting to take on, they're gaining that experience, and now there's not a shock to the system. They're used to this, and it's about business and getting better every week. So it makes sense that the defense would be getting better as the season goes on. And like you said, Chavis always coaches them up so well that it just would be surprising for us to just completely fall off the planet defensively. Even in losing as many people as we did, there's still so much talent because of the way we recruit that, yeah, it takes them a little bit, but I think we're starting to see that those talented backups are coming into their own now and becoming playmakers of themselves. And Chavis himself is finding the right mix of players with moving Thompson into the starting lineup and getting Hunter more snaps when he was started the season as a backup and things like that. But I completely agree with you. If we're sitting there holding them to about 24 points, we're going to be in good shape as far as winning this game, because I don't think they have any real chance at stopping our offense.
No, I don't think so at all. I can't wait to see. You know, it'd be interesting to see how we kind of open up and, you know, where we kind of open up and try to get some quick strikes on them. I think we'll try to jump on them early. I think you'll kind of see it.
I think so, too.
I think you'll see LSU kind of go back to that offense that you saw him run against Auburn and Georgia, But after that, I think you might see him start to lean on Jeremy Hill a little bit in the second half, especially if they have a 10 to 14 point lead. Because once Jeremy Hill starts weighing them guys down, especially with, you know, their lack of depth, you know, they already had a lack of depth before the injuries. You know, a lot of young guys, when you add the injuries to that, you know, that's just a recipe for Jeremy Hill, Kenny Hilliard, you know, just run, you know, in the second half. So, you know, I think you might see, you know, a little bit pass heavy in the first half, but more balanced, I think. In the second half, I think you're going to see a total concentration on running the football, wearing them down. And, you know, we do that, fourth quarter's ours. So, you know, it's a matter of not letting them stay in the game. A team like this, it's 3-3, a lot of young guys on the team, you want to jump on them early, and you don't want to give them any kind of window opportunity. That's the biggest key. And for Mississippi State, we did that in the first half. We kept giving them windows of opportunity, and that's something we need to avoid. Now, second half, it's a totally different story. You know, defensively, we gave up some yards early part of the second half, but, you know, the fourth quarter was just – we just owned it. So, I'd like to – just, you know, not so much of a nail bite in the first half. You know, I'd like to – you know, I think it'll be close in the first half, but still, you know – the first half of Mississippi State, I was worried. I thought we were going to do. I mean, I really had a bad feeling. Really had a terrible feeling the way our defense was playing in the first half, and the way they kind of seized momentum. We don't get that touchdown before halftime. You know, who knows? So, you know, that being said, I mean, it's, you know, it's Ole Miss. It's time to, you know, we're getting to the hardest schedule. We got Furman after this, and then after that, it's, you know, bye week Bama, bye week A&M. So. This is an important game. And I hope, you know, I think Les Miles and Chavis, I think they know this. You know, you win this game, you have Furman, you know, you're undefeated. I mean, not undefeated, but it sets up the showdown, you know, in 3 weeks. So this is definitely, I like the spot for OSU because there's nobody to look at. So, you know, and combined with the fact that you have a defense that's continuing to improve and gain a little bit of confidence. So, you know, heading a lot of touchdowns in six quarters. So I feel good about LSU in this spot. As I keep talking, I'm kind of talking myself into it a little bit. Cause I'm still worried about that Ole Miss, you know, Super Bowl fact of LSU being their Super Bowl.
Oh yeah.
So that kind of hinders in the back of my mind. But the more and more I think about this, it just sets up so nicely for LSU.
It really does.
So. And we're here, Mr. Bob Lynch's thoughts a little bit, you know, coming up shortly. So, you know, that being said, you know, nothing else but to do, but to, I guess to welcome him in. Join us on the show now. We are, pleasure in welcoming in Bob Lynch from Red Cup Rebellion, another SB Nation blog site. How you doing tonight, Bob?
I am doing very well. Happy to be on the show.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Ole Miss comes in reeling a little bit, 3-0 start, but you know, three straight, you know, conference losses now, two straight heartbreakers. I mean, Auburn, definitely a winnable game, and you know, it was a back and forth game with A&M this past Saturday night. What's the mindset for this Ole Miss team? It came in with, you know, a lot of lofty expectations coming into the season.
Well, I think everybody. And if you asked Ole Miss fans before the season, you know, how many games are we going to win out of this first six? I think a lot of people would have said anywhere between one and four or five, depending on how optimistic they were. I don't think a lot of people thought we were going to go down into Austin and beat Texas. But I also don't think a lot of people thought we'd lose to Auburn, even on the roads, considering how we did beat them by 21 last year. The Auburn game, as you mentioned, was a bit of a disappointment. There were several drop passes. Bo Wallace got sacked several times. The offensive line didn't play particularly well. The receivers didn't play particularly well, and Ole Miss couldn't get it going on offense, really. The defense played well. I mean, you take away it was an 8-point game, and you take a pick six out of that, so it's, you know, it could be a very, very close game. The defense played very well. It was just the offense turning the ball over and not protecting, which was frustrating because they did so well not doing that against Texas just before that. And then you're heartbreaker at the end there. Johnny Manziel is just an amazing football player, and you don't you don't leave A&M with the football at the end of the game when it's a one-score game, because that's what they do. They will move it down the field and they'll score. Johnny Manziel is just that good. So, you know, I think that the fans are a little upset, but then you kind of have to put it into perspective. I mean, the Auburn loss was tough, but the A&M loss was to, you know, a top 10 team, and the Texas win was unexpected. So it's kind of, you got some good and some bad mix in there.
Okay. The injury outlook, I know it's getting kind of, is that something that's a worry point right now? I heard a couple sound bites from Hugh Freeze earlier today on local radio. He seems to be kind of, the guys that are injured seem to be out, you know, all out for this game. Speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, it's as bad as I can remember in recent memory. So many players, there were players hurt going into the guard towards ACL against Vanderbilt. So he's been out the whole season, and the offensive line has just kind of been, it hasn't really been a solid set of guys they've thrown out there because of this injury. Then you got CJ Johnson at defensive end. He's got a lingering ankle injury. He didn't play much against A&M. I don't think he played at all against A&M. And then in the A&M game, Robert Kimdichie pulled his hamstring. Mike Hilton, who's a cornerback, he pulled his hamstring. Sedarius Bryant was the guy who was taken off the field after he got knocked out cold. He's got a concussion issue. You got Isaac Gross, who is a defensive tackle, who's got a banged up shoulder. Barry Brunetti, the backup quarterback that threw two touchdowns against A&M, he has a banged up shoulder as well. I mean, Jeff Scott, starting tailback, has a bruised thigh that's been giving him trouble. So they say he might play some, but he's very, very sore. So they're not really sure. A lot of injuries. I mean, this is a bad injury situation, especially at some very key positions. I'd say it's defensive line. We're going to miss a lot of defensive starters up front, and it's going to be difficult to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, especially, you know, facing an offense, you know, the caliber what LSU's been producing this season, is that, I mean, that's got to be, I mean, that's got to raise a red flag early on. I mean, how does the defense go about, you know, adjusting to these injuries, and how do they go about, you know, containing this LSU offense on Saturday night?
That's the million-dollar question. Trust me, if I know how to answer that, I could be playing. I could be defensive coordinator for this team. I don't know if there is an answer. It's just when you're already thin at a position like defensive end, and you've got these injuries. You know, mind you, we had some guys, C.J. Johnson and D.T. Shackelford, playing defensive end. They're converted linebackers. You know, Robert Kimdichie is a true freshman, a great true freshman, but it's still a true freshman. So it's not as if we were too great at these positions to begin with. It'll be tough, you know. I mean, we got, I mentioned some linebackers and defensive backs out as well. So containing this LSU offense, which has certainly impressed me. I think Zach Mettenberger's looked good. Obviously, Odell Beckham is just a force to be reckoned with in all phases, special teams as well. So, yeah, how do you stop these guys? I'm not really sure. It'll rely on a lot of turnovers, I think. I think if they can force turnovers, maybe that's the key to the defensive game plan. That's about all I can think of.
That and offense moving the ball, you know, something that – kind of worries me is the playmaking ability of Bo Wallace. Now, I don't know how much that's going to be affected with. I mean, is Brunetti, I think you had mentioned he's unlikely to play this weekend.
You know, he took a lick to his shoulder against A&M, and they were going to throw him in the last series of the game because they run a power set with Brunetti. Brunetti's a big guy. He's about like 6'2" and he weighs about 230 pounds. He's built more like a tall fullback than he is like a quarterback. And so they run this sort of power running game with him in the backfield and with Itavius Mathers back there. And he hurt his shoulder. They couldn't really run him out there. I think that takes away a big phase of the game with him out of there because they can't run that power running set. And, I don't think he's going to be ready to go. If he is, expect to see him in that power game.
I'm sorry, I missed that last part.
If he is in the game, I would expect to see him in that power running set.
Okay.
But I think that with his injury, I think that sort of takes that power running set out of the offense, which you know really will hinder the offense. If you watch that A&M game, you'll see that when Ole Miss went to the power running set, A&M was having a tough time stopping it. They throw in an extra offensive tackle to play at tight end to put Barry Brunetti and Itavius Mathers in the backfield, and they run an option. So I'm not saying it would work well against other teams, but it was effective, and I think with him out, again, that those plays are just useless.
So yeah, it's a little dire right now in Oxford a little bit. I really like to see Ole Miss at full strength, but LSU has a chance here. On the road, and I've been worried about this game since the onset of the season. Ole Miss, they had a point right now. You're either going to get, I think, tell me if you agree with me or not. I have the mindset of you're going to get either a desperate team. Ole Miss is going to fight, is going to play hard, which under Hugh Freeze they've been doing, since he's taken over last season. Or, if LSU jumps out, 14-0, could we see a team kind of fold? I mean, I don't think you'd see that from a Hugh Freeze coach team, but, with all the injuries and three straight losses, do you think it's a possibility?
You have to think it is, just because we're talking about young people. We're talking about a very emotional sport. We're talking about, what do losses do to people's expectations? But then again, yeah, I think you have a point with Hugh Freeze. I mean, he gets his teams ready to play, and they'll play with something to prove, and they'll play hard. But yeah, you always got to be worried that if there's an old saying that everybody's got a plan until they get hit in the face, and you got to worry that if LSU comes out, scores quick, and proverbially hits Ole Miss in the face, does that alter the plan? Does everybody just give up? I would hope not. I would hope to see the team keep playing hard. But you got to think that with the way things have gone, especially with these injuries, with the tough loss to A&M, the tough loss to Auburn, yeah, the team could be fragile. I don't know.
Well, how do you see the game?
How do I see it playing out?
Yeah.
Well, I think there's a lot of ways I see this playing out. I think it could come down to special teams play like it did last year in Baton Rouge. If Ole Miss can play better on special teams, then I think they could put themselves in position to control the field a little bit, maybe control field position. I think if the offensive line can overcome some of its injury and chemistry issues, and if Bo Wallace can get a little more room, then the receivers played really well against A&M. They didn't play well against Auburn. I was going to say they did. They didn't. But they did play well against A&M. If they can play well against LSU, because Ole Miss has big receivers, if they can get open, then that would be something to look forward to if you're an Ole Miss fan. The defense is just going to have to play opportunistic football. I see an LSU win, I think maybe about 10 to 14 points. But I think you're going to see an Ole Miss offense that will move the ball some, will probably commit some dumb. The Ole Miss special teams unit play particularly well. What I think you'll see, though, is the Ole Miss defense, which has been worn thin by injuries, just won't be able to stop the particularly the running game of LSU. But again, also Zach Mettenberger has impressed me a lot. So I think LSU is a pretty multidimensional offense, and I think that they'll continue to do the same against Ole Miss. That's kind of how I see it playing out.
I got you. Dan, you got anything for Bob?
The only question I wanted to ask is, I look at the schedule, and it's heavy on the road. And obviously, you get the big win at Texas. You lose to Alabama, which probably was anticipated. Auburn's kind of more of a toss-up, but one it was a winnable game, and it was a game you guys were in. And then last week you lose at home to a really good A&M team, and it was close. So you had a chance to win that game too. So a little bit, because for a while it looked like Ole Miss was going to have a really great season after the Texas game, and now it's kind of bleak, right?
Well, yes and no. I think a lot of people, since Ole Miss lost to Vanderbilt 2 years ago, and Vanderbilt, under James Franklin has been a really tough team. They won, 9 games last year. I think a lot of people thought Ole Miss was going to lose to Vanderbilt in Nashville. I think a lot of Ole Miss fans thought that was going to happen. And I also feel that a lot of people felt that Ole Miss would lose in Austin. I didn't think Ole Miss was going to win in Austin. So to start 3-0, I think that exceeded a lot of people's expectations. Then to get bumped back down to 3-3, I think a lot of people were brought back to where their initial expectations had this team. A lot of people were saying, this team won 6 games last year. They'll probably win 6, 7, 8 this year, maybe, So I think that's what people's expectations were. I think we're kind of being brought back to that level. So I don't want to say that things are – I just kind of feel that maybe things have been brought back to normal, if that makes sense, for what people's expectations were.
That's a pretty fair assessment, because you talk to, you know, I want to say even a few people had them, you know, I'm talking national, had them picked ahead of LSU in some picks in the SEC West. You know, a lot of high expectations, but you still, I mean, the way Ole Miss is recruiting and the exuberant level that he's got, you know, these fans believe in this team playing, you know, the level they are playing at, you know, you're still definitely on an upward path. I mean, the injury bug hits each other just so dramatically, and it's just, you know, it's tough to overcome stuff like that. And then you hit in a stretch of, you know, teams that, you know, granted, I mean, you had Alabama on the road, but you know, regardless what happened Saturday, you don't leave the state of Mississippi for the rest of the season, and maybe for one game. I think you'll finish up with like five or six home games in a row, or something crazy like that.
We do, but then we play Mississippi State, so yeah, we don't leave the state of Mississippi from here on out. Yeah. It's good to be back home. That's all I'll say. It's good to be back. Right. Losing to Alabama on the road is tough. Losing to Auburn stuff. It's good to be back home. You know, LSU is a good team. I think Missouri is a good team. Clearly, they've really played quite well this year. So we got them at home at least. Then we got some. You know, Arkansas has, you know, kind of underwhelmed a little bit. So I guess, you know, you look at the back end of the schedule. We're at home. We've got some winnable games there. I think the goal in year two for Hugh Freeze was to simply not regress. So I think if he wins six or seven games, he can continue his recruiting push, tell people like, look, this is a work in progress. This is still under construction. I think a lot of people saw this recruiting class come in and thought, oh man, Ole Miss is going to be world beaters. But you don't become world beaters with freshmen in college football. Right. You just don't. Now, when these guys, Tony Connor, Robert Kimbici, Laquan Treble, when these guys are juniors, they'll be pushing for all SEC consideration, I think. I mean, they certainly could. So it's one of those things that I think people's expectations got a little high, a little early. And I think it's going to take you remember how bad this team was just a couple years ago under Houston Nutt. I mean, it's a multiple year process. And so I think that if they can just take advantage of the easy games that are left and keep the ship in the right direction, I think things are looking good for the future.
Yeah. I mean, no doubt. I mean, even, you know, even with the loss, you know, on Saturday, you know, you got Idaho next week, get your bye week, you know, maybe some of these guys start getting healthy. I mean, and after that, I mean, Missouri, jury's still out of Missouri. I mean, they're ranked 14th. I mean, they had a great win over Georgia, but Georgia's missing half their offense, and they have a defense every bit as bad as what LSU's been early part of the season. LSU's kind of shown some improvement last couple of weeks, but, you know, we'll find out a lot about Missouri next couple of weeks. I think they have Florida this weekend. They have they have somebody after that. I don't know. So obviously, they have somebody. But yeah, these next 2 weeks for Missouri will be really telling, but still,
I got be a good test for that writer.
You're right. That's who it is. So, you know, we'll find out about them, but you still, you know, 8-4, you know, you're still looking at 8-4 possibility, 7-5, which is, you know, still better than last season bowl game. So, you know, good thing. I mean, what I'm worried about Saturday is, me and Dan definitely talked about it, was, you know, just the playmaking ability of Bo Wallace, and he ate us up last year, and that's entrenched in my mind. You know, it's always with Ole Miss, it does not matter what they've looked like the week before or 2 weeks before when they play LSU. It's, you know, next to the Egg Bowl, this is the game that I believe that Ole Miss has circled in their schedule. It's a long standing rivalry.
Yeah. And, I would say that's true. Yeah, I mean, certainly the Egg Bowl is up there, no doubt. But I see a lot of Ole Miss players and fans put a lot of weight on the LSU game. I mean, I was reading up on the series recently. We've played each other 101 times, so this meeting will mark the 102nd time we've played, and that's the second most that any Ole Miss team has ever played. You know, the other team obviously being Mississippi State, I think we played them 113 times, something like that. So, I mean, to have played a team over 100 times, yeah, it just becomes an important game to the fans.
No, without question, yeah. And it's funny because I think we played Mississippi State. I think when we played Mississippi State 2 weeks ago, I think it was like the 107th meeting. mean, who would have thought we'd played that many times? I mean, maybe I'm wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure it's what I've heard. You know, looking forward to it. Always a good test for LSU to go on the road to Oxford. Obviously, the last time we were there, we had plenty of success. That was, you know, Reverend Wright's, you know, horrible season. I mean, we've been through a few of those with Curley and DeNardo and things like that. So, you know, that kind of game, you know, at home kind of sticks with you. So I don't know how many players are left from that team still on this roster, but, you know, that's got to leave a bad taste in your mouth when somebody comes in your home stadium and beats you by 56 or whatever the final score was. I can't remember what the final thing was, 59-3. It was ugly.
I don't hold it against these players at all. That's all Houston Nutt's plate. So.
Right. Yeah. No doubt. All right. That pretty much wraps it up. You score predictions at all? You said 10-14. If you want to give a score prediction, you're more than welcome. If not, you can leave it at a 10-14 points. And
Okay. A score prediction. Sure. I'll say. Let's say 35-21. How about that?
That'll work.
14-point swing right there.
That's good. That'll work. All right, Bob. Thank you for joining us. Can they go to your fancies? He's part of Red Cup Rebellion, which is part of SB Nation, another sister site down the Valley Shook. Bob, can they find you on Twitter? Can they find the show on Twitter? What's up with that?
Yeah. I mean, we're on Twitter at Red Cup Rebellion, and we're also on Facebook at facebook.com/Red Cup Rebellion. So be sure to follow us. Game. We like to do a lot of tweeting from the games themselves when we can. So, you know, pictures, videos, that sort of stuff. And if we're not, we're watching along with you on TV. So we try to keep you up to date with our commentary there.
Outstanding. Bob, appreciate you having coming on with us tonight.
Hey, guys, thank you so much.
All right. And once again, we want to thank Mr. Bob Lynch from Red Cup Rebellion giving us a few minutes of his time. Again, that's redcuprebellion.com. It's also part of SB Nation Blogs, sister site to Anna Valley Shook. So, be sure to check their insights out also. All right, moving on. Go Show Pick'em time. Always, if you listen to the show for the first time again, we pick, about a dozen games or so a week against the spread. These spreads are set on Monday. They're not current. So whatever the spreads are on the Monday that the we go with. You can compete for weekly prizes. All you got to do is follow. If you go to Anna Valley Shook right now, there's a link at the top of the board for it, and just sign in. It's free. Make picks against the spread and compete for, you know, weekly prizes. No cash. We're not that rich. So just a little something and some bragging rights. I am once again terrible. I was something like 4-8 last week. Dan, I don't know if you, did you do the pick'em?
I did. I went 7-5. So
good job.
That was all
good
right.
Good for you. I'm as good as I was last year. I'm that much more horrible this year. I was. I think I say this every week, but I was like top five, top ten. I keep on bragging about last year, but this year I'm lucky. I'm below the Mason-Dixon line right now. I'm just goodness, terrible. So we'll try to continue to write down. I feel like Chris Berman. You know, that guy's been doing a 2-minute drill for what, 25 years, and he's always 0-3. he cannot pick NFL games against the spread. And that's his life. That's what he does. And he still sucks. So I don't feel so bad. I don't feel so bad at all. I really don't. I mean, so, all right. So anyway, for purposes of this show, we're not going to pick all 12 games. Those have been listening for all you know the drill. We're going to pick about 4 or 5 games and break those down real quick. And, it should take a little bit, should be a little bit shorter because there's only 2 of us this week. So we'll kick things right off with the game of the week, I guess. It really is. I mean, Florida State and Clemson, I'm looking forward to kind of flipping back and forth and watching the end of this game after the LSU Ole Miss game. This one's 7 o'clock, ABC. Florida State going to Clemson. And Clemson getting 3.5 at home, Dan. Who you like?
You know, I saw something today that Clemson's going to try and break the – stadium sound record or something or another like that, and regardless, I like Clemson. I think they're a really good team. I think Florida State, despite how good he is, it's still a freshman quarterback coming into a really loud stadium, so I'm going to go with Clemson to cover that.
Yeah, I agree. And I base it on the fact that you have a freshman quarterback going on the road against a well-established team and a well-established senior quarterback. It's almost a slam dunk. I mean, why do you not take the more experienced quarterback at his home field? I don't understand how Clemson's getting 3.5. I mean, this almost seems like it almost seems like a sucker bet. But it's unfathomable to me that Clemson can lose this game, except for maybe that whole Clemson factor, you know?
Yeah.
But Taj Boyd is just, he's too good. Clemson's never had a guy like this play quarterback for them in recent memory. So that's why I lean Clemson. I mean, definitely to cover the 3.5. It's going to be one. It's an interesting one. Missouri, fresh off their beat down of Georgia, hosting Florida now. And they too are getting 3.5 at home. Dan?
You know, that one's close, obviously, 3.5 line. It is close. I may like Florida in this. Just Missouri may have a bit of a letdown coming off a huge win. And I do think Missouri's a pretty good team, but this is going to be the best defense they've played by far. So I think Florida could shock them.
Yeah. And for all the reasons I picked Clemson to beat Florida State, it's why I'm not picking Missouri, because they lost James. If James Franklin's playing,
It's another big.
That I might lean Missouri, but he's not playing, and Florida's got a really good defense, and you know you got the whole letdown factor. Minus you lost your starting quarterback. Now a lot of people are raving about this Matty Mark guy. So I don't know, but against this Florida defense, it'll be a tough test. But I'm with you on that one. I like Florida to cover that one as well, for the cover and the win. So. Moving on, we're going. I guess we got to pick this one. USC, Notre Dame. I don't want to pick either one of these schools. I really don't. But for what it's worth, it's in South Bend. It's in South Bend, and USC is getting 3.5. Dan,
I don't have a great feel for this game. I don't find either one of these teams particularly inspiring. I guess I'll go with USC because they seem to have some sort of new energy while Yaw's coaching them out there for the time being.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to lean USC too. I went with Notre Dame just because it's at home. I think you might – Notre Dame being a little bit more battle-tested, USC. But you see, like you said, they got that fresh little bit of energy, chocolate chip cookies in a trainer room and go and watch movies every single night and whatever else Baby Ogeron's doing out there in Southern California, auditioning for his next head coaching job or his next coaching gig, period. But with that being said, I'm still leaning towards Notre Dame to cover this one and to win, obviously, with that 3.5 spread. To the Pac-12 we go, full Pac-12 to UCLA. Undefeated at Stanford, UCLA getting 4.5. Dan?
I think Stanford got caught napping last week, which against a pretty good Utah team, but I think they were definitely looking ahead to this game. And so there's the chance that could be a sort of like season derailing loss for them, but I don't think it will be. I think they'll cover this and beat UCLA, who is a good team, but I just think they'll take care of business.
Yeah, I like the matchup to watch. I mean, obviously, is that UCLA quarterback Hundley against that Stanford defense. So, but I like Stanford to bounce back at home as well. And I am going to agree with you on this one too. We have not disagreed on anything except for, I guess we went Notre Dame and USC.
Notre Dame.
Yeah, that one. So, but yeah, I'm with you on that one too. So, and let's see, we'll go right before LSU Miss. We go Auburn going to College Station. Auburn getting 13.5 in College Station. This is kind of an interesting matchup. I mean, this is, a young, fresh offense against, Menzel and A&M. This could, what's the over under as force points? It's got to be like 80.
Yeah.
So, but I went, there's a lot of points, and I think Auburn can score with them. So I'm going Auburn to cover that 13.5.
Man. I was tempted to do that too. I'm going to pick A&M just to differ with you because I really don't have a good reason. I honestly don't, because my initial inclination was to do exactly what you said, but I'm just going to pick A&M to disagree with you because we're agreeing on everything else.
You were 7-5 last week, and I was 4-8. So I mean, I might change my pick after. Who knows? All right, and lastly, we'll go LSU at Ole Miss. Ole Miss is getting 7.5 at home. And by the way, we've already talked, Dan. I'll let you finish up your synopsis.
Yeah, I think LSU will cover this really easily. Just Ole Miss is decimated with injuries, and I do think we'll see them come out and be fired up and inspired. And it may even be close at halftime, but we could see a similar type of thing that we saw. By then, we're just putting up points because our offense is that good, and they're just so depleted that they can't really hang with us. So I think we'll cover it. I think LSU will cover easily.
Yeah. You ride that wave of emotion in the first quarter. You know, hopefully, you know, you score something, you know, ideal situation is, you know, you kind of ride that wave of emotion. You know, they'll get a drive early, maybe take an early lead. But, you know, LSU's offense is too good. They'll bounce right back and they'll score right after that because they always do when an opponent score on them. I think they've done it almost just about every time an opponent scored on them this season.
That's so true.
So, you know, and then, you know, after that emotion wears off, you know, that's when you hit them with a heavy dose of Jeremy Hill. And you ride that wave until they stop it, until they put 8 blocks and they get sick of him running all over them. And that's when you go back to the passing game and you just destroy him. So I like LSU. I like LSU by 14-17. I think in my tiebreaker pick, I think I went 34. I went 41-24. So somewhere in that 14-21 point range is what I like. So, and that's what hopefully we will see. Just to reiterate, I think this sets up pretty nicely for LSU. There's nothing after this game, you know, it's Furman and in the bye week. So this is a chance for LSU to continue to improve defensively, just to put a nice little bow on what we talked about already and, get back to that pass happy offense. So that explosive offense, not really so much pass happy, but just explosive offense that we saw and against a defense like this, that's banged up and is already on kind of like the Georgia level, of surrendering yards and stuff. I like LSU, you know, easily just to put up 35, 40 points. Again, thanks to, our guest from Red Cup Rebellion, Bob Lynch, Dan Davis. You see him as, Paul Crew on Anna Valley Shook, and you tweet at him at, ATVS underscore. Is it ATVS? Is it just ATVS Paul Crew or ATVS underscore Paul Crew?
ATVS underscore Paul Crew.
Okay. And, again, you can tweet us at the show at Valley Shook, and also tweet at me at Go Show Kerry. I actually had an unfriendly tweet. Somebody on the show, I guess it was me, mispronounced. We were talking about the receiving core, and I said corpse, and it's not supposed to be receiving corpse. It's receiving core. So, to that guy, there you go. I corrected myself. So, just the fact that I'm getting tweeted at it all about the show, and I'm actually encouraged by it. You know, good tweets, bad tweets, I read them all. You know, might not like them, but, you know, that's what it's there for. I wouldn't give it out if I wouldn't expect some feedback on the show. So thank you to that guy for giving scenes. I'm Kerry Muntz and Dan Davis again. This has been the Go Show, your original LSU podcast. We'll see y'all next week, hopefully talking about another LSU victory. Go Tigers. We're done.